A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
I remember running home from school, turning on the TV to the Cubs game, sitting with my dad to watch his heroes.
Welcome to the World Series Dreaming Chicago Cubs Dreamcast. Not to be affiliated with the actual Chicago Cubs, but we're just a few guys who enjoy talking about the local nine and baseball and all that jazz. And I guess I should like type out the intro again, but you know, this is Ken. With me is Adam from Obstructive View, and it's been a heck of a week. I don't think we need to get into that because, like, you're going to feel the way you feel. But, yeah, the GM meetings were on. The Gold Gloves were basically awarded. And next week, I believe we get the major awards, and that includes Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and the MVPs and Cy Youngs. But in the meantime, there are transactions that are in the works because of those GM meetings leading up to the winter meetings in December. And I think there's going to be some runway leading up to that right before Thanksgiving. And, you know, I don't recall the last time, do you, when an actual transaction happened on a major holiday? Because I almost feel like if something like that happened, someone's getting divorced, right?
Oh man, I wasn't expecting that that to enter the conversation. But yeah, it's unusual. The one that I seem to remember, I think it was Curt Schilling, maybe. And I don't know if the signing happened on Thanksgiving, but I want to say Theo dropped by the Schilling household on Thanksgiving or something. If I'm remembering the urban legend or the rumor that it was something having to do with Thanksgiving when he dropped in. So
when Boston took him away from Arizona, they just he came by with like a side of cranberry sauce or something.
That sounds familiar.
I don't actually remember that. I do know
that. Doesn't matter. You know, it sounds familiar. It must be true.
But yeah, you guys remember we were talking about trying to do a team building exercise. Did take a look at the finances. I think based on what Cots, the Baseball Prospectus Cots contract says, and what is available and things of that nature, the Cubs have about $60 million to spend before they hit the very first luxury tax threshold again, which they apparently triggered last time. But there's this little weird thing where because Cody Bellinger, he accepted his opt-in, right? He opted into the second year of the contract because it's basically a 1+1+1. So it's now like a 1+1 for sure, and then we'll see if there's another +1 later. Hopefully there's not, because that would mean that he's really good and then he can go off and do whatever. But by doing so, I think he lowered the AAV on his contract, and I don't actually know if the math says that it dropped them below the luxury tax threshold, because they haven't calculated the tax yet. So if that's the case, that'd be kind of cool, because whether you know it or not, like if you have a qualifying offer free agent, of which there are like 13 this year, a bunch of them you definitely want. Some of them will go back to their former team, and some of them are just like, why did he get a QO, right? But basically, right, if you sign a QO free agent as the Chicago Cubs, and they're paying revenue sharing fees and they trigger the tax threshold and that stuff, they're giving up 2 draft picks and $1 million in international free agency money. And that has a lot of ramifications. But if you're up to it, like we can try to build our own little team and just kind of talk all things Cubs as much as we can, because really nothing's going to happen until at least December at this point, I think. So how's that for a plan, sir?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
As the spring gave away to summer, past the ivy-colored dreams, toward the days that kept us yearning for tomorrows.
We had talked about that. The CBA allows luxury tax threshold to keep going up every single year. So we're at about $241 million for 2025. And if I looked at the numbers right, and just kind of I'm rounding it. So this is not an exact number, but we're talking about $60 million before you trigger luxury tax one. And then it's another $20 million past that to trigger luxury tax two. And nobody triggers luxury tax three unless you're filthy, stinking rich, like a Steve Cohen or the Dodgers, who apparently don't care about these things. So conceivably, we can spend somewhere between $60 and $80 million. So on the blog, on the website that I guess we can link to the show notes, I put them in tiers, and these are again rounded tiers. I have absolutely no idea what contract they're going to get, because sometimes Boris wins and sometimes he loses badly, like he did last off season. But I feel like he's got a good group this time around, and he's going to get them some money. So if you look at the blog at the $50 million level, and it's conceivable that he might get more or less, or that might be deferred over the next 15 years. Who knows, right? But
Right.
50 million is basically the top of the range, and I think that's the only guy that's going to be there. That's Juan Soto, and I don't think anybody else is getting the 50 million. Not even the guy coming over from Japan, Roki Sasaki, who is restricted by international free agency rules because MLB is dumb and like suppressing salaries. Anyway, the next tier after that, you have some $30 million guys. The big ones are Corbin Burns. I think Alex Bregman is probably the best position player not named Juan Soto on the market, which may or may not fill you with confidence. Then there's Willy Adames, who is most likely going to leave the Milwaukee Brewers, we hope. And then there's Blake Snell, who, he sucked at the beginning of the year, and then he really turned it around. So now he can get into free agency with a little more confidence, and he doesn't have a QO attached to him. And then I'll let everybody read the $20 million guys. But the one guy that at the top of that list is Max Fried. I don't think he's going to be stuck at 20 million. I only did that kind of as a way to organize everybody. I think he's more closer to 25, like basically what John Lester had, but net in today's money. So maybe that 25 million that Fried is going to get is going to be less valuable than the one that John Lester got. But essentially, these are the tiers, and I'm just thinking of how to allocate that 60 to $80 million. And dream scenario, you just get Juan Soto and then buy one of the pitchers and figure out the rest later, because the Cubs can build a bullpen. But I'll tell you what I think later on. What would you do, Adam?
Well, in the world where we're calling the shots, you take Juan Soto and whatever else you can get, for all the playing in the margins that the Cubs like to do. Juan Soto has a nice margin between him and, all the other players that you could possibly get. Adding him, anytime you add a big contract that will go on for what he's going to get, what, 13 years or something crazy like that, who knows? You run the risk of it going bad, but he's about as sure thing as that is likely to get. And we saw what a difference he made to the Yankees you know, having Aaron Judge healthy is a big deal for the Yankees. Why can't I remember his name? The other big slugger for the
Stanton.
Who, Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton getting healthy again and looking like a legit slugger obviously helped the Yankees quite a bit. And, you know, they made all kinds of other moves up and down the roster, but it's Juan Soto that transformed that team from, they're pretty good and competing in the East to a World Series team. I don't care what you have to do as far as moving everybody else around or just, you know, benching someone making a ton of money. It'd be nice to have Juan Soto. But for the sake of discussing things that might happen for the Cubs, I actually don't mind the idea of Willy Adames at third, if it worked, or, you know, some type of reshuffling of the infield. Who knows what's going on with Nico and his arm issues moving forward, and what I really don't know what kind of impact a lingering injury might have had on him this past season, as far as possibly limiting him. I don't know that I would attribute his kind of down offensive year to that, but you never know. Willie would be a nice addition. That'd be somebody that I would definitely like adding to the team. And then, you know, Anthony Santander is kind of a favorite of mine of the names available. So many of the names available. Max Fried obviously is a big one. It'd be nice to add, but yeah, I don't think the Cubs are going big on a starter. I just don't. Mm-hmm. It could happen, but something tells me they feel like they can make stew out of what they have and smaller additions to the rotation because of what they've already invested in in the rotation. Putting a lot of money into who they already have, and I don't foresee them putting a lot more into the starting rotation, but I'd just like to add a couple of, I can see them, if they're going to spend, I think you got to do it on some bats,
right?
The defense, and Willy Adames the third would not be the biggest downgrade at the, you know, defensively. It would, I think that makes for a nice infield defensively, and not a bad outfield either. So those would be the big additions I would go for. Would be, I'd like to see Adames and Santander, and just see what happens. You know, like, yeah. I guess I look at Cody as like almost dead weight on the team right now. I know the lineup doesn't really make a ton of sense, and the pitching, the rotation, the bullpen is where you have the most spots to like fill in with big investments, but the team has to hit.
Right.
this team's got to hit. You've got to make an improvement somewhere in the offense. It just has to happen.
Yeah, I think we can probably look at more trades later. I think there have been a few claims and minor trades, but nothing major yet, because there's like the TV issues. There's teams trying to figure out, are we going for it? Are we going to just try to take a step back? There are like, you know, things, for example, Oakland says they're going to keep Mason Miller and Brent Rooker, and who knows with them? Like you give them enough and they'll probably just let them go like they did with Sean Murphy once upon a time. That was a very annoying trade, by the way.
Yeah, I've been watching The Good Doctor, rewatching that series. So Sean Murphy just brings up that main character in that show. And kind of as an aside, it is so weird to watch shows that were based that were airing during COVID when you get to those seasons. It seemed like every series did something strange with the COVID year. You know, with their episodes where it's just like we got to figure out how to how to make shows when we're not allowed to be together. So there's some interesting stuff. Just, you know,
I think they
little
just
side discussion.
made them just kind of camp in a hotel for 2 weeks without seeing anybody before they started, and then everybody has like babysitters and stuff, and they still got COVID because humans are sneaky like that.
Yeah.
But you can tell that people are wearing masks, or they're like everybody's in helmets and they're more than 6 feet apart from each other, screaming at each other across the room. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's yeah, you could definitely tell. So if we had dream money like Steve Cohen or Dodgers money or even Yankees money, you'd just say, I'm getting Juan Soto and I'm getting Max Fried and I'm getting a bunch of other pieces along the side because I don't care about the luxury tax for giving up draft picks, because at this point, like, the Cubs are middle of the pack. They're not going to draft high anyway. The draft picks are not as critical, although the pool money that you surrender could be, But I feel like if you are going for it, if the guys up top, like Jed Hoyer, are lame ducks and they're still being given one more chance to compete, you basically have to build a team that gets to the playoffs. Like, I don't think there's any leeway anymore, right? Like, even if they win 89 games and they miss the playoffs, you say, well, that's unlucky, but you have to make the playoffs. I think that's what they have to do. And from my point of view, the offense was good enough and they probably underperformed. So if you have faith in that, then you need a better pitcher, a better rotation, better bullpen, and probably a catcher to basically like lift the floor that Miguel Amaya gives you. And he did improve quite a bit, but I'm just thinking in terms of let's push Steele and Imanaga and everybody else down a notch and get like a real top of the rotation guy right in front of them. So now you really make that rotation pop. And the one that you have connections to is a Max Fried. So I would be down with that. I do agree with you about Santander. I do believe he's a switch hitter. That will help a lot. And then if we are trying to penny pinch because we have that like $60 million cap, probably don't want one of the big relievers. At that point, you either say, okay, I'm going to try to claim a catcher, or I'm going to sign one of like Danny Jensen or Travis d'Arnaud, right? And if you have a Max Fried, why not sign d'Arnaud? It's like the Bleacher Nation guys say let's just basically the Lester Ross situation, except now it's going to be more expensive because Travis d'Arnaud hits better than David Ross, right? So I feel like that's something that you would potentially want to do, just get that top of the rotation pitcher, get that bat, get like either a big reliever like a Tanner Scott or one of the catchers, and then everything else you just assume that this farm system with eight top 100 prospects can either get somebody for you in trade or they come up and they dominate. And that's never a guarantee with prospects, no matter how talented they are.
Two things that you said that are kind of coming together here is one, the perception of pressure on do the Cubs need to make the playoffs this year? I know that there is a general consensus among fans that Jed's job is on the line if they don't. I do not share this perception. I think as long as the money is good, and I have no idea about this. I don't know if the money is good. I don't know what the revenue line looks like to the Ricketts family, but I do think we've entered that phase where that's really all that matters. They will put on a face. They will say what it takes to make it seem like what they want to do is really win. But I think ultimately, as long as the numbers look good on the financial side, I don't think they care where they are in the standings. I believe that they see a huge financial windfall if the window is open for a long time. And that's where, when you talk about all these moves, the additions that you could possibly make in the window in the careers of the guys you're adding, you know, outside of Juan Soto, who's still really young and has a lot of years left, many of the names on the free agent list are guys who you kind of have to assume that whoever's going to get them is probably going to pay for a few years of post peak production. And I really need a microphone filter when I say that, post peak production, where you're going to have some rough years at the tail end of that, of these free agent contracts. Same thing probably if you get a trade, but if you have two or three prospects hit and convert into long time, you know, feature players, core players, and potential star players, MVP level guys, if you find those diamonds in the rough among your prospects, that's the type of guy who can open up a championship window or a playoff consistency window where you're winning the division or among, you know, like the top wild card year after year after year, and finding yourself going deep into the playoffs, which when that happens on an extended basis, you know, with the real possibility of another World Series, those are going to represent big financial windfalls for the Ricketts family. So I do believe they see it with the same value that fans do. Like, that's what we really want to see. And no, there's no guarantee, but having eight top 100 prospects definitely makes the probability of it better than what we've been experiencing over the past 5-6 years. So I don't know. Yeah. I think they're going to be willing to give Jed some wiggle room, as long as it feels close for most of the year.
Yeah.
You know, like this year was maybe in the grand scheme of things a better look than last year, when it looked really dire out of the gate, and then things went really hopeful, and then, you know, the roller coaster fell off the tracks. And this year it was more like, oh, things look really hopeful at the beginning. Oh, we're going to get better, right? We've got to get better, right? Oh, yeah. We suck. Oh, wait, we're getting better. Not enough. But man, really, at the beginning and closer to the end, really seemed like something might happen. Shucks. Yeah. That's kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah, and as long as that happens again, timing, yeah.
Yeah, as long as there's some period late into August and into September where it looks like there's a shot, and that's going to happen for almost everybody, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be enough. It's going to be enough to keep Cubs fans interested, and it's going to be enough to keep the Ricketts happy with Jed. It's not until it really shows up hitting them in the pocketbooks, because, you know, fans just aren't interested. And if, you know, depending on what the media money hit is as well, you know, based on how TV packages and regional sports packages get figured moving forward. I think overall, they're not gonna, I don't think they're desperate to make the playoffs. Just feel like it might happen is gonna be enough for them.
Yeah, I do think you have a good point about the financial windfall, because that's part of the impetus behind we got to make the playoffs, because when you do that, you get postseason TV money, and some of that actually gets funneled to the players, so they actually get playoff shares and whatnot. And I think Trevor May had a pretty cool video explaining how that works. But anyway, there is incentive across the board. And what I think should be clarified is that I don't think Jed Hoyer will do anything stupid. He obviously wants to save his job, or at least establish a foundation for where he will go next. But he's going to put the organization in a position that's better than when he started. And that's been true throughout. Like, he basically tore it down, kind of less harshly than they did when they first started in 2011 or so, and built it back the farm pretty quickly from there. So I think that foundation is fairly important for the future of this club. I think, based on what I've read, the top of the rotation pitcher is one of their priorities, and they are going to look at like better bullpen pieces to just make sure that the depth is there and the experience is there and there's more reliability, even though like even the smartest front offices can't figure out relievers on a more consistent basis. Like, it's very, very rare to get that like 20-year reliever who's always been awesome, like a Mariano Rivera. That's why he's a Hall of Famer, and most of them are not, right? But
Right.
yeah, I do believe that the best thing for everybody involved, for the development of the prospects as they trickle up, for the team itself to make money, for the fans, us, to be more entertained, they have to make the playoffs. And that means squeezing out seven more wins from last year to get to that magical 90 mark. The other thing that I think you mentioned regarding trades, or maybe I did, I'm getting older and I keep forgetting things. But
We're of one mind.
yeah, if everybody is willing to go in and try to snag one of the 12 playoff spots, six per league, trades are probably not as plentiful as we would think, right? Because not everybody's going to want to sell. They're not going to want to jettison their like cost control pitching or their top tier pitching, especially when you look at the teams that made the playoffs. Everybody's rotation was hurt, and everybody had to like do at least one bullpen game each series. So they're not going to want to get rid of that. So I feel like unless something creative happens, trades are out. That's why you have to go the free agency to get that top pitcher. Same with bats. Like, if I have an established offense and I was on the cusp, like the Mariners, like, you know, there are a lot of people clamoring for we should trade for Cal Raleigh and get a big dumper in Wrigley, right? Why would they do that when they were on the cusp and they're now breaking up both their pitching game as well as their lineup? So I feel like until we see it, trades are probably much more fantasy than the free agency. With free agency, you just need money, and the Cubs have that money, so I think they need to really flex that muscle. But the good news about having the eight top 100 prospects and a few more just kind of knocking on the door on the cusp of 100, that gives you a lot of trade currency to use to get that the missing pieces that you need. So I think we do have to wait for the awards to finish and for Thanksgiving to be over for when they get to the winter meetings. It would be kind of cool if the Cubs could actually outmaneuver the Dodgers and get Rookie Sasaki, because that would be, and unfortunately for him, but fortunately for us, a really, really cheap pitching addition that has a potential to be really awesome, right? But I feel like we can probably just wait and see, because like, what else can we do? Like, nobody's trading anything right now, and signings aren't happening in earnest. Kyle Hendricks actually went to the Angels, but that was a more of a minor signing and just kind of impactful in that he was a former Cubs legend, and now he's not with the team anymore. But yeah, I
Yeah.
think a lot of this is a waiting game to see what teams actually want to do, how much money every team has to play with, and who actually wants to do what. Like, is there a galaxy brain plan where everybody just decides, I'm going to give the Cubs all my players and hope for the best? Because we have forced trade on, and the Professor X Cerebro helmet, like, forcing GMs to just give us like a healthier Mike Trout or whatever. But yeah, it's this is a cool part of the offseason where anything is possible right now. Even the Cubs like landing a Juan Soto and really
Yeah.
making the New York teams scratch their heads. And then, it's a lot of fun to think about these things, but I just, yeah, we do have to wait.
The beauty and the history in this cathedral, the sky so blue against the grass so green, like time stood still forever.
But we can talk about the games that had happened. As you guys probably know, the Dodgers have won the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
There was a funny game five. And
Oh, yeah.
yeah,
Poor
I
guys.
did like the Freddie Freeman walk-off grand slam. Like, that was kind of unexpected, but then in retrospect, when you saw where Nestor Cortes put that fastball, it was just like, yeah, he kind of deserved it. And then there
Yeah,
was a bunch of other
he
things
caught
too.
fire in the World Series. It was all you heard heading into the World Series. Yeah, Freddie Freeman hasn't hit a home run in forever, and then suddenly home runs went viral on his bat. He could not stop hitting them.
And he wasn't
That was
even
pretty
that
fun to watch.
gimpy, right? Like, I guess he healed throughout the tournament, because there were a few where you're just like, yeah, he's going to stop at third. No, he's going first to home on a gapper. How is that possible? I thought his ankle was like in 17,000 pieces. What's going on?
Adrenaline's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but he was a very deserving MVP, and Mookie did his thing. Otani didn't do much, but I think he had done enough in the first few rounds that it just really didn't matter, because that's, I guess, the beauty of having multiple former MVPs on your team, right? Is that the
Yeah.
other MVPs are probably going to do something, even if one of the MVPs slump, and that's why we're all jealous of the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's funny how baseball works when you go from the money ball looking teams like the Diamondbacks the year before can sometimes be the dominant one. You know, the Indians and Tigers look like they might take off this postseason and have success, but it wound up being the big spenders who really dominated in the postseason, and that's the way it worked out. And you just don't know how teams are going to respond to that. But I have a general feeling that the big spenders probably the list of who's really just going to go all out financially to fund those deep postseason runs year in and year out, that they've kind of made themselves known. You know, it's the ones with the payrolls that seem to have no concept of what a budget is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically just the two New York teams, Philly, Dodgers, and probably the Cubs. That's it, right? Like, am I missing somebody?
Atlanta definitely has a lot invested, although I guess I haven't looked at their overall numbers, but they're definitely stocked with big name stars. It's not a cheap team by any means. So anytime Atlanta wants to kick in, you know, they have enough of a base, provided, you know, everybody's reasonably healthy, where Atlanta is never going to be more than a free agent addition or two away. And they're the ones who seem to find a way to land whoever they want in trades as well.
Right.
Atlanta's a deep team, and they're not going away. I think they really got killed by the injury bug this year, but they're going to be in the conversation just about every year, as far as possible domination. So yeah, they're pretty deep. They can make a run anytime they want to, and I guess the Padres are in there too. They're not on the cheap.
They're definitely still spending, even though they're very cool pro. Let's win a lot. Owner died, but at least they took the core of that team and just kind of ran with it. So that was really nice. I think one of the things that I was thinking as I kept watching throughout the playoffs is, like, a team that is healthy, that can keep their starters healthy, that can get the big outs. Pitching wise, that's a team that could have taken down those juggernauts, like including LA. Like, basically, the Yankees were probably one or two good pitches from flipping the series, and they just couldn't make those pitches, and then they couldn't score. So that's not just like a Cubs problem. That's like a big team problem. Like the Dodgers, in the few games that they won, they were only scoring like four or so runs, right? So that's not I'm going to destroy you kind of game. But yeah, that gave me a little bit of hope, because the way the Cubs were constructed in 2024, if they had just a little bit of luck, they could have been, I guess they would be considered the underdog, but they would be competitive in that regard. But the other aspect was that we were talking about game five, the defense, right? Like, yeah. If the thing with the World Series is like you picked the absolute worst time to play like crap. And that was pretty terrible. Like, just missing an easy flyout that could have changed the course of the inning. Garrett Cole just suddenly deciding, hey, Rizzo's got it. I'm not going to run to first base anymore because I'm tired or whatever. Why didn't you keep running? I don't care if Rizzo's got it. You just meet him at the bag or something. I don't know. It was just like, I thought they had the final out. And then it was just like, there's nobody at the bag and Rizzo can't run that fast. And, you know, was it Mookie or was it Teoscar Hernandez who was beating it out? It was one of them, right? So
yeah, someone faster than Rizzo.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like they didn't take anything for granted. They didn't want to go back to LA, and five unearned runs later, the Yankees were in trouble again. It's so amazing how their fortunes can turn. But if they had just a little bit better defense, right? Like Dansby Swanson makes a better throw to Isak Paredes at third base instead of whatever the heck that was for the first fielder's choice. And then Pete Crow Armstrong will absolutely make that catch, or Michael Bush is a little faster, and the pitchers on the Cubs, despite what you think about Craig Counsell, would have ran directly to first base. That all those things, it's just like a major what if in my head. But again, congratulations to the Dodgers. They simply played better than everybody else. All to it.
Yeah, they probably played the entire game of baseball, from pitching to hitting to defense to base running to team assembly to not clutching onto every dollar. I mean, Grant, they're not hurting. They're doing okay, and I think they came out ahead. I think they probably made more money than they spent. And they're probably loving the arrangement with Otani. But yeah, everything you do from top to bottom as an organization to try to win a World Series, they did. It paid off. And there's definitely, as much as I hate to see them just take over in that way, there's also part of me that's like, yeah, I want every team in baseball to think you do have to spend to win a championship. And if you want to compete, you do have to do everything you can to build your team. Because when they don't, the upper echelon players, at some point, they're going to just start saying, all right, we're going to one of these five teams who's actually willing to spend. And you're going to start to have that merry-go-round, that carousel of elite teams that just become landing spots for the very best players. There's really nothing, well, there are a lot of terrible things, but in baseball, there's nothing more defeating than seeing players come available and just knowing, oh, they're going to the Dodgers. Oh, best player in the world? Okay, it's the Dodgers or the Yankees or maybe the Mets. Like that's crap. It's annoying. I'm sick of it. It was like that for the longest time. It felt that way where it was the Yankees or the Red Sox, we're going to get your guy.
And then the Red Sox decided to be cheap for a while, and then it became just the Yankees, and then now
Yeah.
the
And
Dodgers or
then
Mets.
the Angels too, which is the craziest thing, yeah, when they got Ohtani the first time, it seemed like, oh man. And then Rendon.
Anthony Rendon.
That
He's just
contract
there
did not
for,
work out.
no, he's just there to do a job. Because he doesn't care about, the game, or so the narrative goes.
Yeah,
I think
which I
that,
get. He just was not very good at his job lately.
the bungling, the whole like I have two Hall of Famers on my team and I just completely bungled it. That's pretty terrible, and it goes to show that the other seven guys in the lineup also matter. And I think the thing is, the Cubs are at that point where they have like seven guys in the lineup who matter, but not the two Hall of Famers. And we really want them to find those guys or develop them from within. If PCA turns to the Hall of Famer or someone crazy like that, that'd be great, and I don't know if you were following on what used to be Twitter, and I guess everybody's going to move to Blue Sky soon because of reasons. But Matt Shaw was going nuts in that Premier 12 tournament, and he actually hit a Mercy Rule walk-off home run to win
Oh,
tonight's
okay.
game. So that was really cool. He is currently the top Cubs prospect, above just a hair above Owen Casey. And so
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
the future is bright. It's just a matter of putting it all together, and that's really the most difficult thing, because you think you've built a great team, a juggernaut team on paper, And then all your pitchers start breaking, like Tyler Glasnow goes on the shelf, and all these other guys have Tommy John surgery, or they're out for like several months, and then they come back. Like Yamamoto was out for quite a long time, and then he came back to the playoffs, and you're just like, well, he's not going to throw much more than 5 innings, but in those 5 innings, he dominated, and that's kind of what you want, right? So what I'm saying is, need to build a team where you try to minimize as much of the effect of luck as possible, because even though everybody on the Dodgers pitching staff essentially broke, they still won 98 games. And that's the kind of team that you want. And it's going to probably take a couple more seasons before the Cubs get to that point. But there's no reason why they can't buy a few extra wins in free agency. And that's what I hope we'll see more signs of before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's an interesting time to be a Cubs fan. It is fun to see them, to see your team, and to entertain the dream of your team acquiring the best free agents when they become available. And it's really exciting when you get a big name player or exciting prospect in a trade. But I don't know that there's anything quite as satisfying as following a player from the time you draft him as a prospect, or acquiring a prospect in a trade and seeing them work their way up through the minor leagues, getting excited about their performance, throughout the years, and as they work their way up the various levels. And you really start to get a feel for what their game could be, and then go through that whole torturous time when you're waiting for them to get added to the big league roster, show up to real games, and see him hit a home run in his first at bat, or all that stuff. Seeing a player develop and really become a star, like we got to see with Chris Bryant, like we got to see with, via a couple different teams and some trades, what we got to see with Rizzo, and really seeing players develop into just your favorite player on the team. That's the most fun thing. And so for all the discussion we do about what can be done to make players or make the team better by acquiring these great players, watching PCA develop and seeing him start to ignite some of those potential tools and really see it play out in games on a more consistent basis. Yeah, that was pretty fun to watch this past year. Yeah, seeing some other players take steps forward and develop. I guess that's where, like, I do want to see the Cubs improve. I want to see them take that attitude of, we're going to do whatever it takes to make this team
Absolutely.
win. That's what you want to see from your owners. But yeah, I'm definitely, my dreams at the moment for this team are more invested in the hope that that some of these prospects can turn into something special on the major league level, because that's really where the fun is. And I know that the Ricketts family is like, yeah, that's where the less expensive fun is too. Let's make it happen.
And I think
So for
that's
different
why,
reasons, but I'm vibing. Yeah.
I think that's why we'll also miss Kyle Hendricks so much, because he was the epitome of that story. Like, he goes up, he wins the World Series, he's a Cy Young finalist, he's like a perennially great pitcher until, the past couple of years where obviously that, like, it's declining a little bit, but he still engenders love and respect and great memories. And now
Oh,
he's an
yeah.
angel. So, yeah, the ride does come to an end, but during that ride, you're just like really appreciating all the great times. And
Yeah.
I think we need more of
It's a
that.
game.
Yeah, like if you're up to it, like after they announce all the awards and stuff, we can try to hang out again before Thanksgiving. If not, we'll probably do another one right after all the winter meeting stuff. But yeah, thanks, Adam, for
And if
your.
some big move happens,
We
we'll be
can.
on it. We're covering it round the clock or every other week, possibly,
Or.
whichever applies to what's going on.
Yeah, as we continue to look for actual employment, I'm getting interviews, so that's good. So
Oh,
next
good.
week I gotta, or this coming week in a couple of days, I do have an interview and got some other interviews being set up and maybe a part-time job here or there. But yeah, it's
Is
happening. And
gay porn on the table?
no, I'm not gay enough for that, so
Hey,
unfortunately.
it's acting. Acting.
I'm not
That's
that
all it
good of an
takes.
actor.
Well, there
But
you go. That's a better excuse.
yeah. And not entirely sure how it would work. But anyway, I'm going to
Just
try to
say
stay
whatever the
within my
director tells you to do,
wheelhouse.
you do.
But yeah, thank you for usurping your business slash work slash whatever account for this, because until I can piggyback off whatever work accounts that I have. You're the tech source for this. So thank you, Adam, for doing this.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks to Obstructive View for hosting this. And you can find us at obstructiveview.net. We are going to get away from the ever descending hellscape of Twitter. But I guess you'll find us on the site. Like we're always lurking. And yeah, thanks to Rich Deanna for a theme song and Randall Sanders for pulling the final out from the 2016 World Series. 2025 might be a surprise year. We will see, because like once you get to the playoffs, you always have a chance, even though like this year they got the perfect storm and number one seed versus number one seed, and I'm sure it made a lot of money. Like the ratings were crazy. So even in today's era of streaming and relatively lower numbers, so many people across the world, including here in the United States and abroad in Japan, they just watched. It was a very interesting series despite being over in five games. So I hope that next year it's the Cubs that do the very intriguing stuff. And so thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time.
It was more than just a game.